Blog Talk Radio.
Now, I hope that it was a great day for you fans out there. I hope you had a good time because today was a beautiful day. And I know that you have the faith, and you keep the faith regardless of what's going on in your life, you know. Sometimes people are going through so much and they bail out on themselves, and before you know it, everything goes down the drain. But yet and still, I'm here to give you hope. Making sure that you keep your faith and believe regardless what the circumstance may be. Now, sometimes we also know that we also have a life here and it ain't over. Just like the song said, believe that. And the most important thing that we always have to depend on is God and our beliefs and trusting Him and making sure that He's our confidence, okay? And also I would like to say that as this week begins, which is the following beginning of Monday, I want everybody to get out there, get your groove on. Get out there and hope and believe in yourself, regardless what the circumstance may be, because you are somebody. Now, we like to just thank all our fans that come to the show and listen and come in with words and speak what they have to say sometimes, and we take it all in stride as help and a gift to us. But we thank you. Also, now, the most important thing is we are about to see different changes because of the climate. You know, the heat, the weather, which is normal. Sometimes you got to get out of there and sweat a little bit. It won't hurt anything, most of all, you know, because it's going to make us strong. And then again, it will give us endurance. But remember, just because you lost your job, just because you're on strike, just because you lost a loved one, just because all these things have come up, doesn't really mean that it's over. Believe. Believe in yourself. Have confidence. And you can carry on. Sometimes you have to dig deep. But you know it's not all about you. So you know there's a higher source that you always have to believe in and trust in. And we know what that is. God is the answer today. Every day, all day. 247. And the most important thing I like to say also is, you know, we do go through a few things, and we also lose our faith. But we can't do that just now because it ain't over. It ain't over yet, all right? So continue believing in yourself. Continue going on to the next limit, to whatever the next day may consist of, because every day is a good day. Every day is a good day, regardless whether it's bad, regardless whether, you know, down on your luck or whatever you want to call it. Every day is a good day. And sometimes you can't see the outcome of it because of us. Sometimes you just can't see it. But those that have endurance in their faith, then they will conquer all barriers. So most of all, keep that endurance within. He said, well, how can I do that? And you know sometimes you got to give God thanks. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Because he's the reason why you go through what you go through. But only the strong will survive. Only the strong. So believe in him. Go to him. Ask him. As you go through your endeavors to build you up and give you the strength and the faith so that you can be all you can be. Like the old story said, the commercial you always said, it's only for the good, the proud, and the Marines. Okay? My word is just something to pass on a very positive outlook on life because there's just so much sometimes going on. And it can be going good 1 minute, and a tornado can come and take it away. And then sometimes God will give you some things, and he'll take them away. It's not that he's trying to harm anyone. It's just the way it is. Everything is predestinated to where things are supposed to be. Okay? And that's mostly important words that I can say to you. All right? Now, as far as this week goes, dig deep down inside. And take your task. Take your task, give it all you got, and continue. Not just that, all niece, nephews, cousins, even if you're going through school and you're having problems and you figure like, well, you know, this teacher this, and this teacher that. It's really not about that. You're only there for one thing. Go in, get your work done, complete your task, and move to the next day. Besides ridicule, don't ever let anyone tell you what you can't do. Always believe in yourself. Because I do sometimes have cousins, nieces, nephews, family members. You know, it goes way, way, way back to where sometimes we just don't know. But I'm passing word on because we all went through the storm. We all can bypass everything if we just believe in ourselves, trust in God, and continue on what the case may be. Keep the faith, in other words. And at the moment, I was just listening to that song, Ain't No Stopping Us Now. That's the whole world. It's our whole life, because if we stop on a dime, believe me, wherever you stop is where you're going to be. Nothing shall hold you down. Nothing in perspective. Nothing, whatever the outcome is, it cannot hold you down. So you have to be strong. Keep your peers and stand tall like the trees. Regardless, and we see those trees out there every day, and no matter what comes around, what storm might go, if you look out there, the trees and the green grass is going to be there. Why? Because of life. So now that you have life, you can live it abundantly. That's what God said. You can live it abundantly. So there's no obstacle, nothing in the way can stop you from being who you are. Those that figure that they're already where they need to be and they're content, well, those are the ones that have been blessed also. And then again, some of those are still going through stuff and confused. So sometimes you might get word and a lot of stuff is going on and you might get confused because of the word and what you was taught. And you figure like, well, what I was taught is right, but not necessarily. Because every day you learn something new. Every day you see something that you weren't expecting to see or something that you heard of, there is no explanation. So what I can tell you or say to you is, take the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, plant the seed, let it grow. You know, if you have it, then begin to. Because the more faith that you have, the more it grows and the more you trust in God, you will persevere. Okay? I just want to let you know that. So tonight was a pretty good day. I hope everybody got out for a minute in the sunshine. I can holler at my boys down there. Out there in the park down there, shooting ball. You know, also seeing people on motorcycles, seeing people just out and about. And the day was a great day. But don't forget now, it's going to start warming up. School is almost out. Kids, talking to every kid that exists. If they're listening, cousins, friends, family, whoever. Study for the last. Since school's going to be out, study. Make sure you do the best you can. Don't feel down on yourself and give it all you got. Because next year we'll be back around before you know it. The summer will be over. So before the time hit and school begin to get closed, just remember to do your best. Do your best. Give your greatest effort. And believe in what you're doing. So those don't understand and might be a little confused when it comes down to understanding something, sometimes just take a minute, pray about it. You know, God will never let you down. It won't hurt to pray and ask him to help you along the way. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be afraid. And if it's something that you don't know, ask your teachers or ask somebody. But remember, you give the best effort forward. So that way, when school is out, you can enjoy yourself for the summer. And congratulations to all those young kids out there that's soon to be out. You worked hard through the year. And believe me, parents are very excited and happy for the job that you've done. But the job must continue. Besides that, children, obey your parents. Listen to them when they're telling you the things that you need. Sometimes you figure like, well, time and change, this and that. But believe me, they know what they know. Why? Because they've been through it themselves. Okay? So don't get down because for some reason that you feel that is something that people might not understand. But as long as you got a good heart, good mind, and good spirit, there's no way you can lose, okay? And as far as all the adults and stuff like that, sometimes sit down and take time with your kids and tell them some of the things that they need to know that when you don't have time when you go to work every day, you know? Don't just go to work every day, come home, and they go to school or whatever, and they just live in their little life, and you don't have time to sit down and spend a little time with them and tell them little things that they need or whatever. I think it's best for that because without you, that's what that is going to be. You're going to make them be exactly what you want them to be. So sit down and take time and give them the inspiration that they need. Give them the love that they need. And sometimes, you know, you might have to just put a whooping on that backside. But that's okay. And that way you can be the parent that you need to be. You can be the family member that you need to be. You can be the parent that you're supposed to be. All right? Well, you know, I just had a minute here to talk, just say a few things. And I know someone out there hear me. I know the show is open and someone out there hear me. And the main thing is, if you have anything positive to say, you can even, you know, mash one. You know the deal. So my time was to come with you with gratitude of expression, uplift your spirit, take you to the high so you can fly. You know, fly like an eagle. Get to your destination successfully. Okay? And my word is just a very positive word of letting you know that trouble don't last always. And I'm sure you heard that. I'm sure you heard that 1,000 times. But do you really believe that? Do you really believe that trouble don't last always? Do you really believe in yourself? Do you really believe in when things have failed, when things went wrong? Do you have enough inside endurance to pick yourself right back up and keep stepping and keep moving? Do you really believe that trusting in God and believing in God, having faith in him, that you can accomplish whatever there is to do or be? I believe you can. I believe that you can. So my word is to give good intentions to even the ones that as you go down the freeway and you see them and they're up on the bridges, and if you look like, oh, man, these people, it's like this, man, they ain't this. It's just sometimes people gave up. They gave up to a certain extent because pressure came every which way, hit them every which way, and it hit them so hard sometimes that they didn't know which way to go. So you don't have to look at them as if they're worse off than you because you're no greater and you're no better. We all are human. We all go through something. So I know down deep inside that you all would not tell me that you don't believe. I know down deep inside that you are a believer. You are a conqueror. You are what God made you and more and some with a bag of chips and a Dr. Pepper. Okay? And that's word, good word. So come on, you know, pick your feet up. Shake them shackles off of you. You know, you've been down too long. Shake them off. Shake them off, get a smile on your face. And be ready to go out here and put your armor on and be ready to go out here and conquer. Because, you know, without that armor, there's no way possible that you can even exist, because you got to be just like Superman. You got to be like Rubber Man. You got to be like Iron Man. Or mostly, you just got to be exactly what God wants you to be. So put your armor on, and let's step out here, and let's do the things that's necessary for your family, my friends, my family, and everyone that's out there that's listening. The armor is something that we all need, because I don't know if you heard this saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but no words from me. So that was my word, okay? And by the way, continue successfully.
Wanna give up?
I've been wondering why.
Why is the world getting so crazy?
Still somehow I believe.
Come too far to die now. If you're a survivor, get up. Let's get it. have mercy. You ready for
it?
God's people, it's time to let's get it, let's get it. Let it breathe.
Everybody for joining in for another episode of Blog Talk Radio. Of course, y'all been already connected because Morris opened up the show. How about a hand for Morris? Appreciate him doing what he did. And he sounded pretty comfortable behind the wheel. What do y'all think? I think so. And I noticed that when he was on, his phone wasn't as staticky as mine. So, I'm just glad that he was able to do that. I really appreciate him doing that. So, you know, I really, really, really appreciate him doing that. And if y'all, let me just say, let me look here for a second. I want to apologize for being late because I had to work, and I'm just now getting in, at home, and Mars stepped in for me, opened up the show, and that's what's happening, just in case y'all are trying to figure it out. And so, like I said, I listened to him on the way home, but I couldn't call the show because he called in as the host. So he did his thing, and I listened. He said a lot of good things to the youth. He addressed the youth. He addressed life. He addressed spirituality. So here's a little bit of shout-out for Mars and him doing what he did. Oh, just a little corny hand clap. I just thought I'd do that real silly. I always want to use that. I got all kind of audio cheering and clapping and booing, and I don't ever use it, so I thought I'd use it that time. Anyway, that's a cheer to you, Mars. I really appreciate you doing that. I thought you did good. Hopefully you'll do it more often. So anyway, how's everybody? And by the way, y'all, if y'all want to comment on some of anything Mars said, I know that I didn't send a reminder out to Facebook. Neither did I send my reminder out to the cell phone people. So I didn't send anybody any reminders for the show tonight. So anybody listening tonight will be playing it off their memory. So anybody in the chat room really is not even open because, again, I'm just getting in here. So there is no chat room. Right now as I speak, it's open as of right this second. So anybody that want to comment on the phone lines about Mars, let me know. I do want to just go ahead and acknowledge, I do see the name Robbie was is on the line. I think this is her number. I think this is her number because I called her earlier and I remember her number. I want to go ahead and let her have her say, because I know she goes to bed pretty early, and then we're going to go ahead and continue with the show. Area code 817-625. Hold on a second. Let me try it again. Area code 817-625. And Robbie, is this your phone number? Did I get it right?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? I'm much better today than I was last week.
Okay. Well, that's always good to hear. We want to make sure everybody's healthy. It's good to hear your voice. Know that this audio thing hadn't been working out for us. Before I even talk about the inspirational, y'all, by the way, I didn't say it, I forget because I'm rushing tonight. But and Robbie does the inspirational thought for the evening, and every single Sunday around 9:30, 9:20. So those of y'all that tune in to hear her or tune into the show, you'll get to hear her. And Robbie, before we get into the inspirational thought that I know you got, what did you think of Mars, his opening up of the show?
It was good. I enjoyed it. I heard him saying a few things that I had said, you know, in just conversation.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So
well,
that really, I thought, you know, I thought he did a good job.
Well, that's good. I'm glad he appreciate that. I'm glad he appreciate hearing that. And like I said, he covered a lot of stuff to that little time he talked. And so hopefully more people will step to the plate. Like I said, this show, Mars couldn't do the whole thing. I wanted to do the whole thing, but he had some other things planned. But, you know, so he's listening, but he couldn't do the show because he's doing other things while he's listening. So I understood that. I told him just hold it down as long as I got here. But anyway, I know you got an inspirational word for us tonight, and I'm just going to take a breather here and sit back and just listen what you have for the family tonight. Again, I appreciate you doing this every single week. I really do appreciate it. Even when you don't do it, you still do it because we got an audio taping of you doing it. So,
yes.
So go ahead with what your thought is or what your words you have for this week.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm sorry that I felt like I was feeling last week because I had to get some antibiotic. It had gotten so bad, you know. And my voice is still kind of messed up a little bit. But I hate to miss this opportunity to just say a word. And because we may not get this chance again, you know. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And if you can say a word, you know, I feel like if you can say a word to help somebody along the way, and that's what we're put in this world to do, to help each other. You know, we're created to magnify God. And the way we do that, we tell others about his goodness and his grace and his mercy, you know, because we serve an awesome God. And I was impressed with the fact that Morris did comment on the fact he would refer people to whatever problem or whatever the case may be. He did recommend Jesus, and he was saying he tell them to about talked about prayer, and I really blessed me. But what I was having to say to you was one of the things that I discovered this week. I was a little bit down in spirit, you know. And I know that the Lord wants us to know that he loves us at all times. Sometimes we forget that God loves us regardless. He loves us, but he hates our sin. He hates some of the stuff we do, but he loves us. But there is a price. We know we have consequences when we don't obey God. But this is one of the things that's in Romans 8 and 38. And Paul was saying this, but I just got that scripture for myself. And I said, you know, I'm going to tell myself this. And then I thought about things that have happened in my life, and I discovered that they didn't have anything to do. They couldn't change how I felt about God. It was bad, but it couldn't change how I felt about God. You find in Romans 8 and 38 where Paul was saying, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't matter what come in your life. And sometimes it's bad, and sometimes it hurts, but it should not be able to separate us from the love of God. Because, you see, I discovered that in God, and I mean that sometimes I really get down, but I discovered that God will keep me because it's written. And he's a God that can't lie. Isaiah 26 and 3 says that thou will keep him, meaning God. He'll keep us in perfect peace. Not just peace. That's not good enough. In perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusts in thee. In other words, because we trust in God, he will keep us in perfect peace. And I was telling a friend of mine, I'm not upset often. And every now and then I get a little impatient. But I discovered that because it's written and it's truth, I try to keep my mind on God and the things of God, the will of God. And I pray about it. When you find yourself, your mind wandering, pray about it. And ask God to give you patience, to give you peace. Because he promised that he would keep us in perfect peace if we would keep our mind stayed on him. And you know, it's just a blessing to me to be able to bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, as you get older, you discover some things. And the best way to stay alive, the best way to stay well, is to magnify God. You can't keep magnifying God and talking about his goodness and stay sick or down in spirit. But if you just lift him up, if it's just a little bit, it doesn't matter. You don't have to do no whole conversation. If you just lift them up, if you just tell somebody that the Lord is my shepherd, he is our shepherd, and we shall not want. We shall not want to be well. We shall not want for anything. So as I told you, my voice is still squeaky and squawky, but I didn't want to miss this opportunity again, Seth, because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And I just want you to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, because he loves us so much. He loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son for our redemption. I thank you so much, son, for allowing me to say just a word.
And let me just say this, man, Robert. You just happened to quote one of my most favorite chapters. I quote it all the time, and that is Romans 8. I like the whole thing. But I actually, when I quote Romans 8, I like 8 and 7. I probably talk about that. Those two chapters of the Bible more than any other chapters in the whole book. Anybody know me is probably smiling because I'm always talking about Romans 7 and Romans 8. But anyway, I appreciate that word. And again, hopefully the family is listening. and I know they are. And if they're not listening today, they most likely will be listening tomorrow. So I just want to, again, thank you for that word. And then something else we do. Whenever you, whenever we have this inspirational word, I always play a song afterwards to let everybody kind of think about it. I'm going to try to remember to do that in the future, because I don't just want you to just give a word and be here, we move on. You know what I mean? I want people to kind of let this simmer in. So, again, I'm going to go ahead and play the song we played last week, Hallelujah, Salvation and Glory. And I want the family just meditate on what you've heard, and we'll be right back. And, Robbie, thank you for that inspirational thought.
Thank you.
And you have a good evening. Are you going to keep listening, or you got to go? You got to go.
A little while.
Okay. All right. And we appreciate it. And y'all, don't run away. Don't nobody go get a cup of coffee or nothing. Keep listening. I just want y'all to meditate on what y'all just heard. And I'm going to put you on hold. If you decide to say something else a little later on, press 1. I want you to press 1 when I put you on hold, so your hand will go down, because right now your hand is still up. I put you on hold.
Okay.
Press 1 and your hand will go down. And
okay.
Morris, also, I think Morris is listening. His hand is up. So you and Morris, you press 1. And later on, if y'all want to comment, press 1 again. And I don't know, y'all need to say something, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, that was Amy Robbie, and she did what she always do. She delivered the word. And nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Y'all should know that, but I don't want to add none to what she said. I just want y'all to think about what you've heard, and we'll be right back.
Make it glorious. for.
All right. I want to thank everybody for joining in again for another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is the show, the Book of Douglas Family and Friends Network. You're listening to Seth earlier. You heard from Reverend Robbie Slaughter, Aunt Robbie. And earlier, if you were listening before that, you heard from Mars breaking down a lot of different things. Y'all miss Mars. Y'all miss the treat. If you caught him, I'm sure you was blessed. But everybody, both Mars and Robbie, pointing us back to the one and only that have everlasting life for us. Scripture says it like this: Christ came that we may have life more abundantly. And I know some of y'all young people say, oh, y'all talk about Jesus and Christ too much. Well, it's just the way of our life. That's the way we were brought up. And it don't mean nobody is perfect. It's just that we know somebody that is perfect. And that's all we're trying to do is direct our friends. The name of this show is the Book of Douglas Family and Friends Network. And I also see somebody with a question, area code 817-335. I see your hand, just give me a minute. But for those that think, oh, you talk too much about Christ, too much gospel music maybe, I don't know. I play a little bit of everything on this show. But if that's you, just know that that's the family's heritage. Our heritage is fearing and serving the Most High. At least that's what I'm told that my grandmother preached, and I think her grandmother preached, and I know for sure my grandfather preached Caleb Booker. So anyway, you listen to the Booker Douglas Family Friends Network. This is Seth, and we're going to go to the phone lines. Someone has a question or a comment, area code 817-335. Go ahead with your question or comment.
This is Brother David. You can never have too much gospel music, man. Gospel music is encouraging, and it enlightens the spirit. It's good. It soothes. Love gospel music. Keep it coming.
Hey, I appreciate your call, my friend. And folks, just in case some of y'all just popped in, you don't know who this voice is. This gentleman was our guest from last week. This is the one and only David Johnson. He grew up with us. He knows a lot of our family. That's why we classify him as, when we say Booker Douglas Family and Friends, he would be one of the friends we classify. And that's why we had him on as guest. So, family, let me just remind y'all before I ask David some questions. Let me just remind y'all, just like David came on last week and did a great job talking about Mama Irene, I should say. He talked about Irene Booker Rhymes, and he talked about just the family. Donnie went through the whole family, talked about Billy, talked about everybody on our side of the family. Just like he did that, I want to do that with friends and family all over. I want friends and family that know all of the aunts. Any friends and family of any friends of his family, please, y'all, forward the names to me. Give me the phone number, and I'll call them and see if they want to come on the show, and they can talk about whatever branch of the family they're familiar with, and I'll just ask questions about that particular branch of the family. Y'all should know by now that I'm being as fair as I can. But anyway, Mr. David Johnson, what is happening? How's it going, man?
I didn't hear what the question of the night was, so you might want to tell me what it is.
We didn't do the question of the night, and I'm glad you brought that up because what he's talking about is I had talked to him last week, and I said that we're going to start doing questions of the night. In other words, we'll put a question out there for the family. Like, here's an example. Are parents too hard on their kids? We'll put that question out there at the beginning of the show. And then anybody want to call in to talk about that, to get scriptures or to debate it, fine, you can do that. And then we keep the same format of the show. We just have a question on the table. That's what David is saying. No, David, I'm running late tonight, and I didn't put a question out there this week, but we are going to do that hopefully next week. Did you hear Morris was actually
the one that started this show. Did you happen to call in?
I called in after Morris. I didn't hear anything about that Morris said.
Well, what you do is, if you miss the show, you know what to do. That is, when the show goes off, just click on, and this is where we get most of our callers anyway, or our listeners, I call it. We get them when the show goes off anyway. So those of y'all that missed that on Mars, just like David did, just remember, when the show go off, just go to blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_songs. And if you forget all of that underscore stuff, just go to blogtalkradio.com and do a search for 5 Smooth Songs. Click on 5 Smooth Songs and just move down and you see the Book of Douglas Thunder Friend Network, and then look at today's date, and then you'll be able to hear it. So anyway, David, so all you got a chance of hearing Robbie's word. Did you hear that, or you just clicked in after that even?
I came on with the music.
Yeah, I noticed we get people, and while I'm thinking, I need to keep my eye on this chat room. Anybody in the chat room with questions or comments? I haven't even had a chance to look at it yet, see if anybody's in. Probably nobody's in, because I didn't send out my reminders until about 5 minutes ago. So probably some people, unfortunately, have had these reminders. So I sent a text message reminder and a Facebook. And this is where we get a lot of our listeners from. But anyway, just want to thank you for coming on last week. That was really nice of you to come on last week. And if y'all missed David last week, again, go to blogtalkradio.com and do a search for 5 Smooth Songs. And when you get our show, move down, look for last week's date, and you will be able to hear David Johnson's interview. But I appreciate that, man. I appreciate you calling the show and listening. And this is what it's all about. And as a matter of fact, Arlene and David and I and Gary was supposed to go see a movie called Act Like a Man. No, how does it go? Act Like a Woman.
Think like a man.
Yeah, I don't know if that's scriptural. Actually, some parts of that movie was very scriptural, but I don't know if I would recommend that movie. I'd say stick to the book. But Arlene ended up having to do something with Lydia, and then Gary had to do something having to do with some kind of lawsuit that he's about to enter or something. And so me and David ended up going and had to laugh our minds away, I should say, at that crazy movie. That was a very good movie, very healthy movie. I would recommend that to anybody to see that. It wasn't too raunchy, wasn't too many curse words. Very good movie. Very good movie. So
it played on a lot of different emotions. I mean, you laughed. There was touching moments, and it was just Kevin Hart just made that movie. It was funny, and you kind of felt good about it, and you kind of learned something because of the subject, you know. Pretty much Steve Harvey wrote this book, and he pretty much put out there letting women know, you know, what men, how men are, and trying to tell women, coach women on how to play the game. So I don't know.
One thing,
a lot of guys want to put a hit on Steve Harvey.
Well, obviously, we don't definitely condone, sex before marriage. You know, like, we got to stick with the book on that, stick with the Bible on that. But one thing I did like was the women kept asking, well, why come I can't get a man? Why come I can't keep a man? Blah, blah, blah. And he was just basically telling women, and he got this straight from the Bible, I'm sure, is you playing yourself cheap. You know, you need to make it a requirement that men, you know, marry you and make a requirement. But anyway, I don't want to spend too much time talking about the movie, but just so y'all know, we do go to the movies. Some of y'all think all believers or Christians do is sit around talking about the Bible. That is totally crazy. I like traveling. And speaking of traveling, the person I'm on the phone talking to is the guy that inspired me to work for the airlines. It was David Johnson that actually started working for American Airlines and got me interested in going that route. I prayed to see the world, but I didn't know if it was going to be through the airline. But I ended up going to a lot of countries, 24 to be exact, and David probably been more places than I've been. But anyway, man, that was a very, very enlightening show, I must say. I can't have to keep coming back to it. That was exciting. And something I was going to ask you, though, about that while I got you on the line. You talked to some ladies after the show. Remember those ladies you walked up to and started talking to?
Yep. They were actually one of the ladies I rode the elevator up to the movie tavern with, and she met with her girlfriends, and after the movie, we both met all of the ladies, and I basically wanted to get their take on the movie and, you know, what did they think of the 7th Street Movie Tavern, which is a new facility with nice seats and digital screens, and it's a good atmosphere, but they haven't been getting as many African-American or people of color movies, so I thought it was important that to let them know that if they want to see more movies at that theater, definitely write or email the Movie Tavern, you know, corporation, the headquarters, and let them know.
Right.
Actually, that's the first movie ever since that tavern's been built that had that many black people, you know, there.
Right.
So,
well, David, I really, really enjoyed that, and I wish that I hated Arlene, and I just knew Gary was going to go. So, you know, and met Erica, this knew that Gary and Erica would join us, and but you know who I should have took was Dan. But anyway, I'm getting a little bit off. But listen, man, Booker Douglas Family and Friends, just so y'all know, again, this is David Johnson. He grew up with us. He was a guest on last week's show. He knows our whole family, I mean, as far as Irene kids, and he knows probably some other folk, too. And that was a very good interview. And while I got you on the phone, David, I should go ahead and tell you that there have been some people that listened to that show since then. See, we have numbers, and I'll share those numbers with you later. Well, I said I wouldn't share numbers with anybody, so I guess I have to keep that rule with you, too, even though we're friends. So I said, put it out there that I wouldn't share the numbers because I don't want three people competing and saying, well, how many numbers did my show get? How many, you know, I wanted a competition, so I won't do that. But anyway, man, tonight we're supposed to have a mystery guest, and I'm waiting for them to call. And if they do call, you're going to find this interview very exciting. One thing they did tell me is they could make a promise that they was going to definitely do it because they said they probably was going to be able to do it. And this is the way a lot of people are. They just can't make any promises. It's just the way it is. You know, they'll say, I can, but there may be something that come up, and they let me know because they want to be on the show so bad they'll go ahead and chance it. So hopefully they'll be on, and if it's so, you'll be mighty interesting to hear because I don't think you've met this person in our family yet. But let me just say this, and you can just hang on the line, David, and keep listening to the show, or I can put you on hold. But for now, let me just go ahead and just say this to the family. Y'all, just like, again, I know I said this earlier, I don't mean to be repetition. Morris, if you're trying to comment, I think Morris is on the line wanting to comment. If you want to comment, put your hand down and then press one. In other words, you're going to press one twice. That's if you want to comment. If you don't want to comment, just press, if you want to comment, press one twice. See, I said it right. And if you don't want to comment, press one time. So anyway, I'm just trying to make sure that he knows. Okay. So, Mars, if you want to comment, press one twice. If you don't want to comment, press one time. But anyway, Dave, you don't know this person, the family, and it'd be interesting if you could hang around and listen. But like I was going to tell the family, just like David came on, he's a friend of Irene kids and Irene and Billy. I want y'all's friends, and I'm talking about all my aunts, Aunt Robbie, I'm talking about Aunt Naomi, I'm talking about, and David probably saying, who are these people? But you should know some of these names. I'm talking about Vernon May, anybody related or friends of ours that know several people in the family like David does, you are more than welcome to come on the show and do what David did. It ain't just our friends, okay? And Oh, and David, I just want to just, for those that is listening, for the Irene kids listening, because that's the only people that will probably know who you are. If, you had mentioned Leslie, and just kind of give us a scoop on how your family's doing before, while we're waiting to get the call. Give us a scoop on how your family's doing.
My family's doing pretty, is okay. I mean, everybody's pretty much seem to be running and busy nowadays. We don't see each other as much as we like. But I did get a call from Leslie yesterday, and he called me to tell me that he was doing okay, and he had a dream, and I was in it, you know. And when Leslie starts, you know, telling the stories, I mean, be prepared to, you know, stay close and listen, really, then, you know. But he's doing all right, you know.
Yeah, man, I still remember your mom, Miss Tramiel, and you had, and I want you to finish that question, finish that train of thought, but I just have to interject here. And this is to everybody that knows David Johnson. Those of you that don't know him, not a problem. Just bear with us. Keep listening, learn, listen and learn, like we're going to do with you and your friends, Carl. We're going to listen and go, oh, they know, because David may say something in a minute that you don't know about the family. So just listen and learn. That's what we do, because sometimes we're going to have our friends and we ain't going to know who they are, because they're going to be y'all's friends. They may be, you know, Alma Jean's friend, and we don't know who they are. So we'll listen and learn.
Right.
But his mother is Helen Tramiel, and she's married to Mr. Tramiel. And I just so miss his family. This is one of those families that was intact in the project. I say intact. They had issues, I'm sure, like everybody's family. But they was one of the families that had a mom and a dad and kids that didn't want to fight all the dogs on time. That you can go up there and have a good conversation. You can go up there and get into either David Art or whatever Kay was doing or whatever Margaret was doing. It was just, I'm not saying everybody's project was insane. I'm not saying that. But it's just we had more than our fair share of young people that was misdirected, whereas David and his family seemed more focused. I don't ever remember dodging them in the middle of no mess. None of his brothers. So, Chris, none of them, you know. Again, everybody had their issues. But they just seem intact. I just want to just say that I really miss your family, man, and I appreciate the pic, the picture, those who don't know what a pic is, picture that you circulated. David actually did a video. You should have mentioned this last week, man. For those of us that know who David Johnson is, David actually did a video of his relatives. Tell us about that video. It did pretty good on YouTube, didn't it? Talk about that
video. The video was made, I think it was for not last Mother's Day. Yes, it was for last Mother's Day for a memorial for my mother who passed away in 2000, the year 2000. She made the millennium, and she died around the 20th. She died the 26th of January. The video was just made to just in a memorial for my family, something that would be on YouTube forever. And when I put it up, it touched a lot of my family because I didn't tell anybody I was making it. Basically, what I did was gathered all the pictures of my mom and some of the family pictures with my mom, mostly with my mom in it, because it was all about her. And then I pretty much made a little diary book telling the story of, you know, where she came from. You know, my mom was pretty much she was a missionary, but she was pretty much like your mom. She was a very strong Christian and basically tried to help people out around the neighborhood as much as she could. And the video basically shows those pictures.
Hold on a second. Before you go there, what is the name of the video that somebody may want to look at it? How do you pull it up on YouTube? And then go ahead with your story.
I believe it's the Johnson the Johnson Mother's Day video. The Johnson, maybe Johnson Family Mother's Day video. 2011, I think. I believe that's the way it's actually done, but I can look it up. But I think if you pull that up and you see a woman in a dark outfit, glasses on, that's my mom. It's pictures on the cover.
Yeah, it's called the Johnson's
Mother's Day video.
The Johnson's
family. I think it's the Johnson's Mother's Day video.
Hold on, I'm looking at it. Hold on, I'm looking at it right now. The Johnson's Mother's Day video 2011. The Johnson's Mother's Day video 2011. For those of y'all who don't know who David is, and you say, well, let me look at his family. Maybe you might know him. I'm telling you, he's been around forever. So go ahead with what you were saying. I just wanted to just let everybody know that they can at least see it. Something
well, once you get to that video, feel free to comment or leave a, like, whatever, if you do. And basically, after all my mother's pictures is ran through the video, we basically start from the oldest in my family. My mom had 10 kids. So I started with the oldest in my family to the youngest, putting their pictures up. I first put their adult picture up, and then I put their young picture up. Guys, when they were not a baby but young, I would say around, 8, 9 or somewhere in that area. So you get to see all the children and as an adult, then as a young person. And one of the things that was really important for me is that my mom gave me a birthday card 1 year. And it was one of those cards that you get that says exactly the right thing. And you can tell that she really shopped for a while for this card. And after she wrote a personal note in it to me, she put a little thing at the bottom, David framed this card. And I just never got around to framing my card before she died. And basically putting it on YouTube is the best way to frame it. You know, it's framed everywhere, you know. And
yeah.
On YouTube. It's yeah, I show the card in the video.
What is, I'm looking at the video. I'm telling you, y'all really need to see this video tonight. I think Donna saw it. But this man,
it's a play to voice.
You missed your call, man. You missed your call. You should be a what is that thing like, Louis Gates Jr. that talks about family heritage? Because David, this is really, really nice. This will show y'all the artistic side of this young man called David Johnson. This is really, really nice. I'm looking at it and. He went back all the way to when they was on the east side. You want you to go to all y'all places you ever been?
Well, some of the places where we lived when we were young, I put those in there. You remember Roger Hughes Barbecue? You know, we used to go there for the smoked sausage and the ribs. It was right there down off of Maine, pretty close to Maine and Rosedale. It's where the health department is now, but I mean, I put that there. There was a grocery gave Budget, called Budget Grocery, and this guy, when we were kids, used to give my mom credit, so she would just send us to the store, and he would put it on her tab because he was just trying to help her out because she had so many kids. So my mom was blessed.
I got to laugh at that. Now, wait a minute. So your mom got the same kind of credit?
That's when they used to give black people credit, just by their word, you know. Their word was enough, you know. Now, you know, don't try that. Don't go up in Aversons now and, you know, say I'll pay you later, you know.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. Again, some of y'all just join in and look at this chat room, and I apologize because I was running late. And I didn't send a message to nobody on Facebook. Well, I did, but late. I sent a text message to the family late. So those of y'all just joining, y'all missed earlier Mars opening up the show. Did a real good job. Like I said, when the show go off, you know what to do. click on the show, go to www.blogtalkradio.com. If you can't remember, /5_smooth_stones, just type in 5 smooth stones and do a search on Blog Talk Radio. It ain't the one of us. And, you know, come up and then move down to where you see Booker Douglas Family Friend Network and move to today's date and you'll listen to Mars. If you want to listen to David, the gentleman I'm talking to now who just happened to call in, just talking. We're waiting on our guest to call, but the guests did say there's a strong possibility they might not call, so I'm sure some might have come up or they might be running a little late, so I'm going to give them a few more minutes. But just sitting up here talking to our guest that was on last week who know our family. I mean, you know, this is one of those persons that know it. Again, if y'all have friends and family, everybody listening on the other side of family, all my other aunts and uncles, if you're listening and you know somebody that's a friend and family, you want me to interview them, or you can interview them. Is this a picture of y'all in the project? Look at Mr. Tremaine. I'm looking at you, Mr. Tremaine. Your mom was kind of good looking back in the day. Your mom was kind of good looking back in the day. But anyway, I'm sorry. If you have friends that you want to be interviewed on the show, please, please, simply give me a shout out on Facebook or email. I'm Seth Stone with Yahoo, and y'all know my number on Facebook. Again, the name of the video that that we've been talking about is the Johnson's Mother's Day video, 2011. Y'all want to go back in time, I mean literally back into a time capsule, and just see David and Margaret and just everybody. I'm looking at everybody. You'll see them. You'll see them. Go ahead.
I want to say something about your mom and my mom. One of the most important things that they both did as Christian women was they laid that foundation with their kids so that, you know, just as the Bible says, when they grow up, they won't depart from it. You know, even though they're gone, yeah, I saw my family basically after she left just reinforce and get deeper into God, you know. So it laid a great foundation, you know. Making that foundation for your kids now is really important. She made us go to church even when we didn't want to go. So I really thank her for that now. But it lays that foundation that, you know, kids are do it when you're gone. So it's important to, you know, not give them the option whether they want to go to church or not, you know. To a certain point in their age, they need to go, you know.
Right.
And basically for us, it was the whole time we lived in our house. It was basically, I was a senior and still had to go, you know. If I wasn't working, you know, that was the only out. I didn't have to work on a Sunday. That was the only out. But other than that, she said, get up, go to church. If you ain't going to church, you going somewhere. There wasn't no sleeping in. Staying home. You know. You
right.
After church. You know. That's the way she, that's the way it was.
Right. Let me do this, David. I want to just, because I always like to, let me get a free commercials in. I just happen to forget. I keep saying I don't want to forget these commercials, but I want this family to be in tune with Hemp USA and some bunch. Let me just do this real quick. Just hang, stay right there, and I'll be right back, okay? We can finish talking and kill a little time waiting on our guests, okay? Just, I'll be back in a second, okay?
All right.
All right, just 1 second. Folks, this is a reminder, these two commercials, y'all. I take them very serious. Check them out.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
This is Kayla.
This is Lydia.
You're listening to the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network.
Enjoy the show.
Okay, we're back. This is Seth. Again, we are listening to the Booker Douglas Family Friend Network, and we're waiting on our guest to show. I did mention to y'all earlier that there is a possibility they can't show that they want to be on. So bad they would take a chance. So here we are waiting. In the meantime, I'm kicking it with one of my homeboys, old neighborhood buddies, the one and only David Johnson, who was just so happened to be the guest on last week's show. Again, if y'all didn't hear it, you missed out. I don't know what to tell you. You just missed out on a very good show. So, back, David, you're back online. You're back on with me. So, anyway, Dave, how did you like that last week?
The show last week?
Yeah, how did you like it? How did you think the whole thing went? Let me ask you this. What do you think of this whole idea? Because I'm having a little bit of trouble getting the family to listen to the live show. Now, ironically, when we go off the air, I sent the same amount of messages. Well, I don't even know if it's the same amount, but we get a strong listening after the show. Isn't that weird?
Right.
Like once we go off, it's almost like they're either they're saying, you're on when I can't listen to you, or I don't want you to know I'm listening to you. One of the two. I don't know. I don't know what to think. You know,
I think your idea about having a topic or maybe a question of the day, and just like the movies would do a preview before the movie comes to the theater, maybe you should put out a preview on your Facebook or wherever you do it, on so that they will know what the topic will be, and then they'll if they want to be a part of it and it sounds interesting, they'll be on the live show. So it's probably in the introducing the shows is where we need to work on it. You know, before that date of the show,
make sure
this is what we're going to talk about. You let them know what the topic or, and if there's a question of that, I think that's a good idea. Maybe the, maybe somebody wants to talk about something that's in the news.
Actually, to be very honest, I thought of it, and I got it wrote down. I got a whole bunch of ideas wrote down for the show, but what I don't want it to be is all my ideas. So it's just on the paper. Wrote down with a whole bunch of other stuff I want to do with this show. But what I try to do is ask people, what do y'all think? Like I'm asking you right now. And I've asked it on this show I don't know how many thousands of times. You know, and so people are very shy. I guess they just don't want, I don't know. So that's why I thought I'd ask you what you think of it, what you think of the whole idea, what you think of the whole concept, you know. Anyway, folks, hopefully this guest will show, but if not, We'll just keep on tagging along. I do want to do one little comedy clip, David, and I want you to stay on the line. I'm just going to talk to you. Unless somebody else press one, because we got several people on the phone line just listening. Maybe they're enjoying us. So let me do a little comedy clip, and we'll be right back, David, okay?
All right.
All right, folks, just got to throw in a little bit of comedy. I said I would. And while I'm enjoying talking to David, and he's probably going to have to run here a little bit, but I just thought I would I got tickled. Some of these clips, y'all may even think it's funny, but I just laugh so hard at some of this stuff. Let's do this. We did this last week. This is a nice little clip. For those of y'all that missed it, if you heard it last week, just be patient with us and laugh again this week. But check this out. It's a little comedy, and then we'll be right back with hopefully our guest. If not, we'll just finish up talking with David. And if the guest does come on, we'll let David know. We'll talk to him later. He can stay on the phone listening, and then we'll go straight to the guest after this clip, all right? But check this out. This should make you laugh.
And my mother used to whoop me for 3 days. And she said, and then after she finished, she said, now dry it up before I give you something to cry for. What was the last 70, 80 hours about, huh? Had me running around the house singing songs like this. Oh, she touched me. Yeah, Lord. Now I'm a comedian. Some people say there's no reason to have laughter in the church. We're supposed to be serious. You know what I'm saying? But the Bible says to everything there's a season, time to every purpose. I thank God in these next few months we get a chance to laugh. Now, people who don't like to laugh, they are what I call flowing in the pathetic. I didn't say the prophetic. I said the pathetic. Because they try to act like they're really deep. But they're really not that deep. Let me give you an example of somebody that's flowing in the pathetic, how they float. They'll tell you something that everybody already knows. Play something soft and meditational. I know the word is meditational, but I'm flowing in the pathetic. I'm going to act like I'm deep, but I'm really not. You might have somebody pathetic right on your run. Somebody in the pathetic, they'll look real deep, and they'll tell you something. Please play meditationally. They'll look at you and tell everybody something we already know. They'll say, you know what? This just came in my spirit. And they always got to have that look like something stink in the room. They'd be like, And then they say something that everybody already knows. And then they act like everybody should be slain. They say this, they be like, hallelujah. The Lord just told me to tell you, tomorrow is Friday. Nah. I grew up in church all my life. My father's a pastor. My father before him was a pastor. All of my uncles were preachers. I'm talking preachers. Even the dogs in our neighborhood could preach. I'm saying, we'd be walking down the street, we'd rub on the head, and they'd be like, bow, wow. Oh, bow, wow. Cats and mice was getting saved and delivered. Well, one thing I used to hear the preacher say, he used to say these words in my little Baptist church. He said, when he wanted to make sure that people didn't start leaving, he said, I'm getting ready to close. 15 minutes later, he said, I'm getting ready to close. Y'all don't hear me. About an hour later, he'd be like, oh, I'm getting ready to close. Yes, I am. And you know, I was sitting there as a little boy wondering, how many doors does this preacher have on this message? Because you know, at the same time, the people of God want the preacher to be like Pharaoh and let God's people go. I'm about to let y'all go. Y'all know, I love Christian television. How many of y'all love watching Christian television? I know y'all do. Yeah, I love watching Christian television. I watch Christian television so much that I start imitating some of the people I see on Christian television. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Fred Price.
Listen, those of you watching me by television. Listen, some of you don't like what I'm teaching, but listen, that's why you're still broke.
And then I love after he do that, he said,
now listen, don't get offended. See, I didn't call your name.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Rod Parsley. Hello, everybody. I'm Pastor Rod Parsley, and I'm so excited to be with you today. Some of you listening and watching right now, looking down your long religious nose, I'm telling you, by the end of this night, you're going to be the main one dancing on top of the table with a lampshade on your head. Don't you worry, I'll be right back here tomorrow, right here on Breakthrough.
Bishop Eddie Long.
Pastor Joel Osteen.
Well, I'm just so excited to be here with you today. And just want to let you know that there's no reason to fight and get into strife. Just love your neighbor and just get along with them, because if you love your cat and if you love your dog and if you love your spouse, everything will be just fine, because there's no reason to fight. Just keep loving and keep going forward. I'm Pastor Joel Osteen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bishop T.D. Jake. Tell three people and say, get ready, get ready. The devil mad now. He thought he had you, and now you're having a good time. Come on, tell him. Oh, yeah, clap your hands. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let us now go all the way to the island of Fiji with Pastor Benny Hinn. Precious people, lift your hands. Hallelujah. Lift your head and sing it again. Hallelujah. Dear Jesus, I give you praise. Hallelujah. Oh, thanks for your anointing. Just a whisper. Listen. There's a lady, you're watching my television. I want to tell you something, keep watching. My favorite part is when the praise reports come in, because I'm telling you, they're really excited. I love to hear the praise reports when they say, Pastor Benny, this lady says she's been standing in line for 3 days. She said when she got here that she couldn't hear well. Well, in the last few moments, she said that she can hear out of that ear. Hallelujah. We give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody like the Whining Family? I like the Winans family, too. I like the Winans family. The Winans family can sing real good. I'm going to sing this and I'm going to close. Marvin Winans can make any song sound good. Marvin Winans can take his ABCs and you'll feel the Holy Ghost. Marvin Winans can sing his ABCs. He'll be singing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, Elemental P, yeah. Q, Robert S, C, U, B, W, X, Y, and there's a D, O. Now, I've said my heart. Hey, 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 tell me what you think of me, Ro-Ro. Y'all remember, laughter is good medicine, so make sure you get your daily dose. Come on, put your hands together. God bless you.
Okay, it is all the way live. What y'all think of that? That was crazy. Let me get my friend David on. Hey, David.
Yes, that was very good. I mean, that's talent right there.
That guy, his name is Broderick Rice. Broderick Rice. And see, what y'all couldn't see the video, the actual him moving and acting like Jake was the funniest one. But you couldn't hear nothing but him saying, get ready. But that guy is crazy. He's just
Broderick
funny. I know
White. Broderick White?
Broderick. B as in Bravo. Broderick Rice, like you eat rice.
Oh, rice. Okay.
Yeah. It's him and it's just other. It's a lot of Christian comedy. Some of them. And I could have played some other clips, but I just wanted to. I just like playing him, to be honest with you.
Anyway,
I know, that was so funny. Didn't he sound just like him? How do people do that with their voice? How do you sound just like somebody?
Believe me, if you watch enough of the of TBN or Gay Star, believe me, you can pick it up, you know. But I think he did a great job on all of them. I thought Joel Osteen was kind of weak, though. But all the others.
No. That sounded. Man, if I didn't tell you I was going to play that, and I would just play that clip, you'd have thought you were listening to Joel Osteen.
No, I listen to Joel Osteen all the time. Well, I have to find a video. I got to find that video. Is it on YouTube?
He probably liked the fact he was saying what he was saying about him, but that sounded just like all of them. He was real good. But listen, I don't know, folks. We're waiting on the guests. It's 10:35. My guess is they ain't going to make it. They come, I'll interview them for whatever amount of time they got. I'm not going to call their name now because I don't want everybody to be mad at them or nothing, but this is what happens. Sometimes folks don't show. Sometimes they do show. Maybe I'll show a little late. But in the meantime, I'm just enjoying talking to David here again. This is a childhood friend. We could talk about so many things. Me and David could probably talk just on memories alone because I haven't been hanging with David in some years now. I see him every once in a while. We keep saying we're going to hang up. We're going to do this. We finally got a chance to do that movie because, like I said, it was going to be me and Arlene and Gary. And Arlene had to do something with Lydia, and then Gary ended up something going on. He's trying to do something. I probably shouldn't tell his business, but he couldn't go, so it ended up being me and Dave, and we just enjoyed that. But this brother here, David is the reason I work for the airlines. David Johnson is the reason I went to Calvary. Probably I would have never ran into the charismatic movement had not have been for David Johnson. Because I was satisfied there, rolling in the Church of God in Christ. I was called to preach there, and I was would have been just probably a minister, another minister in the Church of God in Christ. My wife seemed to think I should have stayed there because it's got more structure than what we do now. Now, you know, when you join these big churches, there ain't no structure. You just kind of come and go as you please. Whereas the Church of God in Christ, they keep tabs on you. And she kind of think I would have come up better in that environment. But for sure, not enrolling in the Church of God in Christ, David, you know, I would have been better off to the next church I went to, which was Holy Tabernacle. You know, you remember those days, right?
I remember those days.
David was the first one to mention to me about something called praying in the spirit. Never heard that word before. And he took me to Calvary. I felt like his pastor, like, why do you keep going over to Calvary, man? Let's just stay at Church of God in Christ. Let's stay enrolled in the Church of God in Christ. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? From Riverside Drive, 4545 Riverside Drive. Still remember the address. Rolling in the Church of God in Christ, right across the street from Grace. Who used to pass over there, Grace? Kenneth Copeland and Hagen, them all used to go across the street there. Who was that? He probably died, I'm sure, by now. He's an old man.
They are just now about to burn the note for the church. After all these years, they got it paid off, Rolling Hills. And they're about to have a homecoming. So, I don't know. You may get an invitation.
Yeah, I didn't like that church, you know. I mean, I liked it at first, but David telling me about Calvary was, I know, God sent. I do think I should have left Rolling Hills Church of God in Christ, but I do not think I should have left Holy Tabernacle Church of God in Christ. He's a bishop now. Bishop Sample was one of the most welcoming males. He's almost like a father to me. Actually, to be honest with you, he would be considered, if anybody would be my spiritual father outside of Billy, would be Reverend Samples. Welcomed me in and gave his pulpit up and just really endorsed what I was talking about and preaching. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if you knew this, but he put me over the back in the Tam the Mandate room with Tam and Robinson's, what was her name? Carrie Robinson and Cassandra and Harlem people. You know them, right?
I believe so.
You know Cassandra Robinson?
Probably. I just don't remember.
Man, I can't believe you said that properly. Cassandra Robinson and her mother, it's a couple. Her mother and her dad is like a gospel couple kind of thing, almost like the Cobbs used to be.
Right.
Not Carol Cobb, but their mom and dad always was together. But anyway, that was back in the day.
Daryl's brother, what was his name?
Daryl Cobb.
Oh, Daryl.
And if you're listening, those of y'all listening to the Booker Douglas Family Friends Network, and you hear us just talking here, some of these people y'all might not know. So why would we do this? It's because we're talking about a network of people we knew back in the day. If we keep naming names, you're going to hear somebody you know. I guarantee you. Because we know between David and myself, we probably know all the Fort Worth, especially anybody in the church. And so we just sitting up here sharing, kind of killing time, waiting on a guest, but it looks like even he's going to be a no-show. So we're just sitting up here just talking about some things. Anybody want to call in, comment, you're more than welcome to do this. By the way, I want to just let me just do this, David, real quick. Hold on a second. Let me just see if this is Mars. I think I want to tell him thank you for him helping us out early. Just hold on a second. Let me just. Mars, you there? Is this Mars? I think it's your number. Mars, you there? Mars, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, you're on the line live with me and David. I want to tell you thank you, man, for checking in early. You heard what Aunt Robbie said about you, right? Did you hear a comment about you?
No, I didn't hear you, but, you know, I was doing some stuff.
Yeah, and Robbie was coming about you. Okay, first of all, say hello to David because he on the air. All three of us are on live now. David, say hello to Mars.
What's up, MT?
What's up there, David? What's
going
on?
How you doing,
on?
Man? Oh, man, I'm blessed.
That's good. I already know that, man. I already know that.
These some old Eastern Hill heads, you know, they wasn't over at Polly with the black folks. They was over there at Eastern Hill with the white people.
Yeah, Morris, I met Morris in his, when our first year, our freshman year, Morris came to Eastern Hills and
Hold on, because I know you're about to get wired up here, but before you do, I just want to tell you, Morris, real quick, thank you for doing that. That was pretty neat. And anybody want to listen to Morris, open the show, so it was pretty nice. But anyway, and Robbie said some nice things about, you know, you might want to rewind the show and listen later, but go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I have to get that in.
Well, I was about to blast on him about those high-waist pink pants he used to wear at Eastern Hills. His little spandex. So almost. Do you remember those pants,
Morris? Morris ain't the only one that wore spandex. Everybody in America wore them. That was the bare bottom jeans and jeans that you can iron. They stand up and just a whole bunch of clothes that's coming back, really. All that stuff coming back.
During that time, the 70s really had never gone away. I mean, everybody loved the 70s. That's probably the only decade or era that just keeps coming back. I mean, 70s was probably the most famous or favorite, you know, because of the way we dress.
Yeah.
I had my Velcro, too. I had my synthetic shirts and bell bottoms and, you know.
Hey, do y'all remember that time we went to see Bruce Lee's movie? And I know some of y'all family members can identify with this. I'm trying to make this not just a three-way conversation. While I'm enjoying it, I want to bring the family. I'm sure the family and everybody remember Bruce Lee movie, Enter the Dragon. Well, it came to Hollywood Theater downtown, Fort Worth. Mama never let us do nothing, Marsh. Remember this? Mama never let us hardly do nothing. But she let us go to the Hollywood Theater with David. Remember that?
Yeah.
I still watch that movie to this day.
My mama
was strict on us back in the day, but she let us do a few little things, and that was one of. Baby was one. She trusted Miss Tremaine. Mama trusted Miss Tremaine and Mr. Tremaine. So David was one of the people we could hang out with. And some of y'all might know Gary Livingston, which he never hardly came around. But I remember Mama liked him. Mama liked, I ain't going to say who she didn't care for because they might be listening to the show and get offended. But there's a few people she didn't like. Remember Calvin and Devin Mars? You don't know Calvin Devin. That was before your day, David. But Mars, I know you remember Calvin and Devin, right? Leathers.
Yeah, I remember.
It was Kathy, Devin, and Calvin Leathers. And then there
yeah,
was
play baseball. Played baseball with him, yeah.
Yeah.
We played baseball.
All this probably before your time. Matter of fact, David, I don't even think you know the Rosses. You know what, David? You don't even know the Rosses because they actually lived in y'all's house. I just thought of that. I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He knows Renadium.
They stay in the same building on the end, on the other end.
Right. Renee and Regina and T-Bone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How'd y'all get along with them? Yeah, we had to give them our rabbit because our pet rabbit was shedding her. The mama was allergic to it, and then we would go up there to see the rabbit, and one day went up there and they ate the rabbit like somebody, you know.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people ate rabbits.
And then one day went up there and we asked them, we say, where's Frisco? And then one of the kids just came straight out and said, hey, man, you know, my father cooked it, man. I'm like, what? you know, we had to get in the rehab, you know, because we couldn't keep it because of his shit and her.
Bob Barry. Did you know, David, did you know Steve and Bertina and Ruby Porter?
Yeah. I remember them.
So y'all was in the Jets for a while there, huh? So you ain't no newbie, huh? I thought you came in later.
No, we moved there the year, my freshman year, before going to Eastern Hills, that summer. While we moved there, that before going to Eastern Hills, we moved there. So I don't know if we were there before y'all or y'all were there before us. But I know that we started the school at the same time. So, I mean, Eastern Hills. So obviously we were there.
Now, David, speaking of your family, you got a sister-in-law, Emma. Now, Dobby was your brother, but Emma worked for American Airlines, don't she?
She still does. She still
is
does.
She?
And her husband, guess what? Her husband is a chaplain for the American Airlines chapel. He basically goes out there every Sunday, or I don't know, and they do it more than once a week, but he was also going out there and being a chaplain for the American Airlines, you know. Chapel. Did you know they have a chapel?
Didn't know nothing about it. Never heard of it until just now.
Yeah, of course. They have a chapel at the airport.
So what is Mr. Leslie doing? And I don't know why. Reggie, what are they doing these days? I know you're talking about just for those family members that do know y'all and that's listening. I know they're wondering what your sister. Just go through. Just give us a quick rundown of what everybody's doing.
Reggie works in security for a prison institution. He's like a guard, and basically, my Kay is still Karen, what we call her Kay. She still works with children in daycare.
That woman right there loves her some kids.
She's always surrounded herself with kids.
Yeah.
I think there was a medical condition. There was a medical condition where she couldn't have kids. And I think that sort of made her, you know, she's got lots of kids, you know, now, because that's been her life.
Right. Yeah,
and the rest of them are pretty
Let me just say this real quick, David, to you and Mars and everybody listening. I got to be the one to keep bringing it back to the family. Again, folks, I know some of y'all may not know some of these people we talk about, may not know any of them. But what you can get out of the show is just kind of seeing how your cousins, Mars, myself, maybe Tanya's name will pop up, maybe Putt's name will pop up, maybe Moppy's name will pop up, maybe Donna's name will pop up, maybe Billy's name will pop up, and for sure, I'm sure Mama's name is going to pop up. You'll listen how we did things. This is all history we're talking about. Just like if y'all was talking about Amy Omi and this was some friend of hers talking about, we could learn from that. If this was Aunt Robbie and some of her friends and some of her children's friends, we could learn some things about what Eric and Vince them friends did. That's all this is. So we could be easily listening to your friends. Again, give them my email number. Give them my email address. Give them my Facebook and account and send them a message, and I will bring on your friends as well. So we're talking tonight. Look like our guests didn't show. We did have a guest. They did not show up. And we're just in a period of reminiscing old times with David Johnson again, who happens to be our last week guest. So Mars on the line, David's online. We're just talking about old times, different things. Okay, go right ahead, David.
Basically, I mean, it's just, even if you've got young listeners, you basically, we're talking about having friends for a span of 25 to almost 30 years. So, I mean, that's from school. It basically can tell you.
You know, and I want to say this.
Remember when you were like a teenager, you wondered where would you be in 25 or 30 years? So, I mean, people ask that question, but it's like it could be there before you know it. So don't waste your time and stay in the books. Get your education and keep be goal oriented, you know.
I got a question. I got a question, David, for you and Marcus. I'm kind of glad I got both of y'all on the line because y'all, this would be something y'all both gonna like. Marcus, I want you to go first on this one. Y'all went to Eastern Hill, and I was joking y'all earlier about white Eastern Hill. Oh, I know issues with white Eastern Hill. It was predominantly white back in the day. Now it's predominantly black. But I want to ask y'all a question. Now, but I really want to ask y'all this for real, in real life. And I know some of the young people listening, and perhaps some other people enjoy this question. How did y'all deal with racism there?
Well,
while y'all was over there dealing and having a tightrope, I was over at Poly with everybody black. There was girls that I could talk to. There was guys that I could talk to on my level, and there was different levels. There was girls I wouldn't have nothing to do with. There was guys I would have nothing to do because I felt that they just wasn't classy enough for me. And then there was people above me that I would dare not even say a word to because they was the queens at Poly. They was the kings at Poly. I give you a good example, Mars. You may not remember Daryl Lester. He went to Parfait Temple. You remember Daryl Lester? That boy at Poly was a king. That boy got nothing but the best of the best of the best girls. He was smart. He was homecoming king. Daryl Lester was the man at Poly. He was like Michael Lockett was back in the day. Well, there was guys on his level. They drove their own cars. They had money. They had style. They had women. They won awards. They was good on football team. I mean, it was guys like us that we kind of looked up to. There was levels of people at Poly. Y'all didn't experience that at Eastern Hills. Y'all higher levels was white people, and y'all might have had a few black people in that class. Whereas I was with total black environment.
Let me put it like this. Okay, we know it was time. When we went to middle school, they said that it was time for us to switch schools, and, you know, and that was fine. So a year a week, all the buses pulled up in the neighborhood, and they was getting the schedules down, and we understand we had a choice to pick between Tech and Eastern Hills, okay? But for one, we stayed way on the east side, and Eastern Hills was way on the, we stayed mostly, like, pretty close to downtown, but Eastern Hills was, like, probably maybe 20 miles away on the east side, which was in Meadowbrook. So when the buses pulled up, we all got on the buses and we went there. But when we pulled up, I noticed something the first day. When we came up on the buses and we got out, everybody looked at us funny. But there were blacks already there, you know what I'm saying, that lived in the neighborhood or whatever the case may be. But we didn't look at it like that. We was just kids. We didn't understand. We just went to school. It was just school. But when we pulled up in the buses, I remember pulling up, and all the white kids was outside, and, you know, everybody was getting ready to go into classes and stuff. And we walked around like, but when we pulled up, they all stood outside and looked at us. And we all got off the buses. And when we got off the buses, it was mostly black students, you know. We went into the school, and whether you know it or not, there were some people that we didn't know, but after a while we got there about a good month. It was some important people there. You know. I mean besides, saying for instance, what's his name? The band director, Mr. Watts.
Mr. Watts
that taught at Iron Imperial before he even went to Eastern Hills. You know, there was people in the band, and he taught those students how to play in the band. And those students, you know, besides Mr. Watts, besides, we had a lot of good people around there that was cool, and we didn't know. You know, just saying, for instance, even though they were white people, there was people we looked up to. You know, we heard about, you know, Mike Lockett, you know, the Lab Hearts, Sidney Van Cleef, Sidney Van Tinkle. You know, it was a lot of people, but it was black people there, too, you know. They had the drill team, There was black girls on the drill team. It was more than what you actually think. Football players and stuff. I mean, Eastern Hill, once we become seniors, you know, like me and Dave, we were young coming up. But by the time we became seniors, we stood out. We ran when the track was going on. We Yeah, we was number one in the state with track. In football, we had football, you know. Mike Lockett was number one. He would run on one side of the field, turn around and go back up the other way. And it was when we went to the games, it was a rivalry. You know, it was like it was packed. But we didn't look at that. That's not what we was looking at. We were just there to learn. But in a way, in my perspective, it probably was racism there, but we didn't really get that because we were too busy trying to be important. We were too busy trying to get our education.
Well, come on, Mars. Mars, I got to ask you something because you made this comment to me a long time ago. You don't say that. Everybody know you're going to say this sooner or later. It's going to come out of your mouth. David, I'm coming to you next. Mars, you said Mr. Sanford told you what? Tell me about Mr. Sanford told you all.
I better hear what you said. You got to talk up or something. Your phone messing up.
What did you say Mr. Stanford told you one day?
Well, one day, we would always come. When we came, when the bus pulled up, you know, you got 15 minutes to go to class. You know, you got about 20 minutes. So you can always walk in the cafeteria and go get your donut and some milk and go to class, go buy your locker, get your books, and go to your next class. So one day, we got off the bus, and I don't know what had happened that day, but as we were going to the cafeteria, there was people in the cafeteria. You know, it was white students, it was a few black students, majority was more was white. And I was going in the cafeteria, and Mr. Stanford told me, he said, y'all could just turn around. He was standing in the cafeteria door. Y'all could just turn around and go to your lockers and go to class. That's what he said. But every morning I always got up and went to the cafeteria, and he was a black principal at that time. And he said that y'all just turn around and go to class. And I said, Mr. Stanford, I said, I always stopped out here every morning and give me a donut and some milk, I mean, and a honey bun, and then go to class. And he was saying, well, today that's not going to happen. Just turn around and go to class. I said, it's not fair because there's people in the cafeteria. You know, students in there. And he was saying, well, I'm going to tell you right now, y'all, wherever y'all come from, that's fine. But you're not coming over here messing anything up for these white folks. I mean, that's exactly what he said. Not racist. Not
wow.
Racist. But yeah. He said, you're not coming over here to mess up anything for the white folks. So I'm letting y'all know where y'all come from. Y'all come over here, things are going to be the way it's supposed to be. And if it's been this way, it's nothing's going to change. So I got upset about it. So I told him, listen, what I'm going to do, I said, it's not fair. So I went on. He said, come here. And then he told me that. He said, come here. He said, you talk too much. Go to my office. You know what I'm saying? He said, you talk too much. Go to the office. I said, but it's not fair, Mr. He said, anyway, go to the office. So I turned around and I went to the office and I sat in the office and I felt so bad because when he said that, he made it seem like we was different. And it was a black
man.
Right.
Let me do this.
Hold up. But I was just a kid, but I didn't think that it was fair. So when I went to the office, I went up there and I sat in the office and I was in there like, man, this ain't right. But when I went and sat in that office, I sat from 8 o'clock that morning to 4:30, and by that time school was going to be out, and I didn't leave that office. I didn't eat lunch. I didn't do nothing. He did not come back in the office and tell me to go to class. Okay, now guess what? Now as the day went by, he came in by 4:15, and school was out at 4:30. He said, "You can go to class now." And I looked
That's
at
wrong.
Him and I sat in that office the whole day, and he said, "You can go to class." I said, "Mr. Stanford, school is out now." I said, school is out now. He said, well, do whatever you got to do.
Now, let me ask you.
I felt so bad that I feel like my spirit was just let down. And I didn't do anything wrong. He just stopped us at the cafeteria door and told us to turn around. And there was people in the cafeteria, and it was white students in there. Might have had maybe a few black students in there. And they was all sitting there eating breakfast and stuff, and breakfast smelling good. And it made me feel so bad. So I sat in his office that whole day from 8 to 4:30. He came back in. But I'm going to tell you this. And he would always tell us, y'all not coming over and messing up nothing for these white folks. So I'm just letting y'all know it's this our world, this way it's always been. So I'm letting you know now. Don't think you're going to come and change anything. It's not that I was coming to change anything. I was just speaking up for my rights. And he was a black
My story
wasn't the only story. But this was shocking me one day. Because a lot of students were saying, Mr. Thettleford, he don't treat us right. And you could hear it as people go and work, whatever. He said, Mr. Thettleford, he don't treat us right. But one day, we went to class early in the morning, about 8 o'clock, and I'm sure David remember this. They said everybody needs to stand up, cross your heart, because Mr. Thettleford has passed away. You remember that, David?
I remember he, I don't know who passed away first, Marvin Harris or Mr. Thettleford.
Okay,
I thought
well,
Marvin Harris
you
passed
remember
away first. And then Mr.
Well,
Thettleford.
I'm not talking about Marvin Harris. Yeah, but I'm
yeah,
talking about
he was the principal. Thettleford was the vice principal. Yeah.
But after he passed, then Mr. Thettleford was the principal. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember that? Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Hold on. Mr. Thettleford was the principal?
I thought we had graduated after, I mean, before Mr. Thettleford passed. I mean, I might be wrong.
No, Mr. Thettleford passed about in the 10th grade, man.
Mars, hold on a second. David, let me ask you this.
His son and his
daughter
went there.
Hold on. Yeah, that's true. Mr. Thettleford, the other Thettleford, the nice Thettleford, wanted me to like his daughter and not put Baron that day. He hated me for that because I didn't like his daughter. I was popping up with Baron. He wanted me to like his daughter. And I was like, you're about ugly. I didn't tell him that. Okay, David, what did you think about what Amara just said? Now, you're a totally different man. You're a totally different young man in high school. You had an art teacher that really loved you. Mars probably had a teacher that loved him, too. I don't know. But you got a teacher
well,
I know for a fact.
Okay.
Hold on. I know for a fact she's still being in touch with you because when I was on your Facebook, your art teacher, she loved her from David Johnson. Okay, so how was your experience? Did you see the same racism or what was going on in your head? What do you think of what Mars said about it? Y'all going to mess it up with
black on racism. Black on black is not racism. To me.
Okay, the thing is, when from the beginning, like Maurice said, when in my freshman year, we got bused to Easton Hills. I didn't have the option to go to Tech. I don't know. I just thought that I had to go to Easton Hills. So after ending up at Easton Hills, I just went. And I only got one story of racism when I was at Eastern Hills, and that was outside of the campus. It wasn't at school. It was on a lunch break.
Hold up. Wait a second. Wait a minute. You just made me almost fall out of my chair. Wait a second. Did you say you didn't, basically, if you only had one and it was outside the school, that means you went 4 years at Eastern Hills and you didn't see no racism?
I went 4 years, but Mars and we were pretty much, I didn't do sports. I was pretty much in clubs. I was in the Miss Roberson's, what was that club she had, Mars? And then I was in an art club. I was basically kind of like a geek. I basically worked on my whole 4 years. I worked. And I even got paid for being Ann Bradley, the vocational counselor's aide. I got paid when I was in high school. You know, I was getting paid to do that. And so I've always worked, had jobs after school. So basically, I was close with Dorothy Weatherby. She's now Dorothy Spriggs now, but she's our teacher. And we got real close. And her and Ann Bradley basically wanted to show me a different side of the world. Besides the project, they knew I was a little black kid, you know, coming from the project, and they saw I had, you know, lots of interests and dreams about doing something in life, and they basically, you know, helped me get started in a different direction. So, I mean, I never had a chance.
This is interesting. This is interesting. So wait a minute. So Mars, so you have some white teachers that basically kind of like Bodine. Now, y'all know
they
Bodine
basically put me in, and they kind of been. They were my mentors in a sense. They
yeah, that's what I was going to say. But see, Bodine,
we're friends to this day.
I don't have no problem with the teachers. I don't have a problem with the teachers at all.
And what I was trying to tell you was the only incident I had was on a lunch break where Ronald Bowen, you remember Ronald Bowen? We went to lunch. After lunch, we headed back to school, back to Eastern Hills, in those apartments right before you get to the school.
Yeah.
We were walking by there, and these two white boys came by in a truck, and they said, "Hey, niggers, where y'all going?" And, you know, Ronald got a mouth on him. So I was like, I looked at Ronald, and Ronald was about to blast him. And then all of a sudden, you saw this little barrel come over the window, and it looked like a gun. So I looked at Ronald looked at me. And basically, all we saw was smoke because we were out of there. We were running towards the school. And then they took off laughing. It was a bottle. It was like a beer bottle. They just wanted to scare us. But that's the only thing we just felt, you know. And when Ronald and I got to the school, we kind of figured out what just happened, and we just started laughing. But, I mean, that first instinct was to run, you know. I don't know about that. I think around that time they might have been showing Roots and all that. I mean, all we just knew was, you know, just run. But, it's kind of funny that we look back at it, but that was kind of meaning.
Yeah, but, you know, like I say, it wasn't really too much race. They had the people the way they were, and they had to adapt to it. But to me, all the teachers was great because I wanted to be whatever. You know, it's like when I passed by the algebra class, trigonometry, I wanted to do that. When I passed by the drafting class, I wanted to do that because I didn't want nobody making me feel like, you know, hey, you could just stick to the math course and do the basic stuff, but I wanted to do everything. I took computer class. I want to do everything that was hard because I saw people in them classes. I'm like, wait a minute, they in them classes. I want to go in there and be able to learn what they learned. Hold on. So, it really, the teachers was not a problem. You know, the teachers was great. They really didn't show us no racism. I think the only incident I had was because Mr. Stanford. And Mr. Stanford kind of looked at us different because of the neighborhood we came from. You know, even the people, even after the football game, and I would go to the football games, and sometimes, and we, you know, and they would ask us, man, where you live at? You know, I was kind of ashamed, and I stayed on the East Side. I didn't tell them exactly. Because when we go to the games, after the games, we go to Pizza Hut. So after the games, and you tell them that, they'll make a mockery out of it and laugh because there was other students around, but everybody always went to Pizza Hut, which I didn't know nothing about Pizza, but when I got there, you know, it was after the game. That's where college students, double students, but mostly your class. So your class would look at you like you was a what they call that? Outcast. You know, so at the same time, that didn't faze me, but I noticed when we got around certain people, because of where they lived at in that area, Eastern Hill and Meadowbrook, they figured like they were better. But I didn't look at it like that because no matter what they were, I figured like I can do the same thing, and I wanted to learn the hardest thing that was. So I always was the person walking around with my books in my hand and a pencil. Don't you remember that, David? You know, because I wanted to be. You know, it was like I wanted the education, you know, because in those days, we can go to school and have fun, get jobs, and in the summertime, we get these little jobs. We go back to work. We save our little money up. We're ready to go. That's what it was. It was fun, you know. So it wasn't too much race treatment. And then eventually, the school, because most of the kids that came to Eastern Hill lived by Dunbar. So we had a lot of people that lived by Miami, and finally they came to Eastern Hill. It's not like it was racism because you didn't feel the racism because you saw black people there. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it was cool. And the black folks were cool. But my problem was that I noticed that I never had any problem with a white teacher. Who was a black vice principal that I had a problem with. And it wasn't the first incident. It happened twice.
Let me ask you this.
There wasn't no racism going on at that time, because really the teachers, they're probably doing that now, but way back then, the way it was, segregated, whatever, we never had any problems. I didn't have no problem with the white teachers. It wasn't the white. It was the black man telling me, y'all not coming over here messing up nothing for these white people. They've been
right.
here. It's with
Bobby.
Yeah,
that incident, I think that incident, it sort of made you determined to, you know, get something out of your education, and it challenged you. And that, so it was a good thing that happened. So, you know, certain things happen for a reason.
It was a good thing. But
if I had not gone to Eastern Hills, I think that I would be a different person if I'd gone to Pauley instead of Eastern Hill.
Me too. So
my life, I've always been the token black person at school or in the jobs that I've had. And to this day, sometimes if somebody's talking to me on the phone that had not met me, they accuse me of being white, you know, and just because of the way I sound. But I've always got that. So it wasn't a negative thing, but if I'd gone to Pauley, I'd probably have a different perspective, and who knows whether it would have been better or worse. It wouldn't. I mean, I don't know, because I didn't go there. But it's up to each individual. I mean, every student, when they're coming up, it's up to them to determine what their destiny is going to be, you know. And as it got closer to my senior year, I kind of realized, hey, I need to determine, you know, what do I want to do? What am I going to do? I was one of 10 kids, so we couldn't afford, you know, there was no money saved up to go to college. If we were going to go, we would have to go on a scholarship or pay for it ourselves. So my option was military or to just work. The only branch I applied for, I applied for the Air Force, and the grade level, the pass wasn't high enough. So the Army called me and wanted to, but it wasn't the draft season, so I decided I wanted to work, and I chose the Army.
Well, you know what, Dave, you know what, I appreciate you talking about that, because that was going to be my last question for y'all. And Morris, I want you to address this, and David, these young people for sure in school and his family is where y'all were. But unfortunately, they don't have the tools that we had back in the day, and they are facing some scary situations with racism. Not all teachers.
Most minorities choose their own forces because,
Hold on. Not all of them is.
Not all of them. I said a lot of them.
Right. What I'm saying is I want y'all to give a advice to young, especially young black males, because these young black girls, for some reason, unless they're just real ignorant, they're handling theirs. So I guess I should say address the young black girls.
Okay, let me just tell them like what somebody told me. They told me. They said, you know, when you're in high school, they said, get it now. Because when you go to college, you're going to pay for it. This right here is free. But when you go to college, you're going to pay for it. So, and it's going to be harder to concentrate because of all college. It's a lot of parties, and, you know, you might be going off campus. You might be on campus away from your folks and family. So it's going to be harder to concentrate. So it's best to get it now and work on, you know, pay attention and take it. It's education, public school, that's free, so don't waste your time. You know, get it.
Okay, all right.
That's my advice.
What I did, just so y'all know, I put a little note on the family, on the show's description, this show's description, that Mars, Seth, and David talked to young people in the family. just so y'all know, so anybody listening to what is this show all about, they'll hear this. Because that's pretty much what we've been talking about. We didn't know what we went through. Either y'all come up with what y'all went through with Easton Hill. But it's also good for young people to use that. Now, anyway, I want my...
Hold on a second, Seth. There's one more thing that's very important because it's different than when we went to school. The technology is different. Young people, be careful what you put out there online because it could come back to haunt you. You know, be careful of the pictures that you put out and things that you say, and because most future jobs, your jobs are going to be using, you know, this technology and the online internet to check out your resume and how you really are, your Facebook page. So be careful what you put out and how you talk and your, you know, the pictures you put out there. One girl, she had every picture in her Facebook, every picture, this friend where I lived, every picture of her had a drink in her hand, you know? And she didn't realize that. And it's like she one day looked at all her pictures, every picture's got a drink in my hand. And, you know, she was going for another job, and she just didn't want that to, you know, so she had to remove all those pictures. So,
That is so wrong if they do that. That is so wrong. Well, let me ask you this, David. Then I want Mars to have a last response. David, what happens if they do know that they need to go and do their thing? What if they are trying to do their thing, but they're running into teachers that give them a B versus an A? Sometimes teachers don't mean no harm. Sometimes when people think that you are less than, they don't always know that that's what they're doing. Sometimes your life just don't have the same value.
Hold on. I'm going to answer that question real quick for you. Because what I'm saying is, we were coming up.
Myers, hold on. I'm asking David this. You got the last question. No, go ahead what you got. You sound pretty hot. Go ahead. Maybe you got it. Then I'm going to ask David that same question. Then I'm going to come back and ask you another question. Go ahead, David.
Go ahead, Mars. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mars.
Okay. What I'm saying is when we was, you know, we didn't look at, we probably saw it on TV. We didn't think nothing about it. But our neighborhood was actually predominantly black. You know what I'm saying? So stuff that was going on, we didn't really experience it like a lot of people did. But I'm going to tell you how I experienced it. But what I looked at when I went to school, it wasn't about that because, see, when I was a kid trying to find jobs, I walked down through towns, and I didn't look at it because they were white. I didn't look at it because they was racist. But check this out. That's the good part about it. Every time I walked, and I walked from where I lived at all the way down West 7th Street, all the way down downtown, way over there on University, and I turned around, but I had a shirt on, a white shirt on, a tie, and a pair of slacks, and a casual shoes. I didn't look at the classified ads to see who was hiring. I just took out walking and say, when I get back, I'm just going to put an application. That was my goal. It was just determination. So as I walked through those areas, I stopped at a place and said, are you hiring? I was looking for a job. Actually, I fill out an application. They said, well, we're not hiring right, but I still fill out the application. Went to the next one. I probably did that. Maybe I probably went through 10 jobs down. So I just looked at buildings, and I'm like, man, I like to work in that. So I would go ahead and fill out an application. And by the time I got through walking, and every time I did that, fill out the application, everybody said they weren't hiring. But guess what? By the time I always had a hard phone. But by the time I got home, I had three people from businesses calling me and said, hey, and mama would say, hey, you know what? Three people call you about a job. I'm like, what? She said, well, I got the numbers. I'm like, what they told me that they weren't hiring. But when they called me back, and every time that I went on the interview, I got the job. I didn't look at it like it was racism. It never dawned on me because everybody that owned the businesses was white anyway. You know what I'm saying? You know,
right,
better being going to college. You know, them jobs I got, it's because I didn't worry about it because that's what it was. But I'm going to tell you, Now, before I started going to college, now, I remember going, I was undecided. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. This is when I experienced racism. I never thought it existed, but it did, because we heard about Martin Luther King and all that. But my mind wasn't there. I just was a kid, a student, just trying to be somebody. Okay, that's my goal. My mind was trying to be somebody. I just wanted a good job and go to school and conquer my dreams. I had a dream that it didn't matter if they was racist. But the day when I said, man, one day I was walking, and I went downtown forward, and I went into the Marines. It was Army, Marines, and Navy. You remember that? We was at on West 7th Street. Y'all know where the federal is.
Right, they were right there.
Right across the street from City Hall. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Right across the street from City Hall. But I went up in there, dude said, man, what's going on? Oh, you want to join the service? I said, man, what you got? He said, man, we right now, man, they putting people in, man. They could be interested. I said, yeah. What you got? He showed me the armor tapes. He showed me the you know how you go boot camp and all that. And I got to think, I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. But anyway, but he said, but you know what? That's just training. He said, once you get out of training, everything's okay. So I went on a slide for the Army, you know, to go in the Army or whatever. And he said, but you got to take a test. So while I was in there, you know, I went to Eastern Hill, and most of the students at Eastern Hill were white. But it was nice-looking students, and it was druggy-looking students, okay? But when I got in there, it was a white guy in there. And we were both in there taking the test. His hair was nappy. It looked like he was all strung out on drugs. And I'm like, oh, man. I mean, they probably want to help everybody. But anyway, we was in there together, and I was talking to the guy, and he was quiet, and he was all slumped over. Looked like drugged up and everything. His hair was long, looking crazy. I said, oh, man, I probably, you know, anyway, I took the test. But when I took the test, I got a phone call and said, hey, Morris, you paid the test, man. Man, you ready to get signed up, man. We're going to get ready to send you, man. I don't think we need you to do it. But Mama called me and told me, said, look here, I'm going to call you. You ready to go. I don't think I need you to come and sign for your approval for the seal, and then you're going off to boot camp. I said, for real? And they were telling me I could go to school and make money and all that. But all of a sudden, I got ready the next day, went down there, walked in there. The guy shook my hand, and they was laughing. You know? And I seen the same white dude that was on. I'm like, oh, this dude, I know he ain't smarter than me, because he didn't look like he was smarter than me. You know? But he was a white guy. I mean, I was just a kid. I didn't know nothing. I'm, you know, 18 years old. He didn't know too much. But I still was trying to be determined. But guess what? This test right here got me. The other dude was laughing. When I was in there, he said, hey, man, y'all ready to get signed up to go to boot camp, man? I said, for real? He said, yeah, man, the Army's going to take y'all on. They ain't just coming and sign this paper, man, and we can send you. You'll be going to boot camp. And I just said, you're going to be getting paid while you're in boot camp. And I said, oh, man, that's cool. And so I was going to go. But this is what got me. When I looked at the white dude, he said, he was talking to the white dude, and the white guy was going to get ready to sign up. And I asked homeboy, I said, what are you signing up for? I mean, what is your job going to be? Because after you leave boot camp, you go to your, they send you to your destination and what you'll be doing up until the time or whatever. So I heard him over there talking to this guy saying, hey, man, you did great on the test, man. Guess what? After you come out of boot camp, you're going to be working in computer automation. The dude was saying, what's that? He said, you'll be working with computers, man. They'll be training you for that. Not just that, you're in the service, so you'll be getting paid while you're in boot camp. And I'm like, God, man, that's cool, because I did want to know about computers. But then when he got to me, I said, man, you need to tell us what we're going to be doing. They bust out laughing. It was two white dudes. They bust out laughing. So I said, man, what y'all laughing for? I said, man, good, I'm ready to sign up. I said, what am I going to do? I'm going to be doing the same thing he doing. He said, well, now where am I? You passed the test. He said, but you're going to be, once you leave boot camp, they're going to send you to sanitation. I'm like, what's sanitation? That was a big word to me. He said, well, mostly you'll be working around trash, picking trash up. And I'm like, nah, man. I said, you going to tell me he passed the test? I know doggone well he ain't smarter than I am, but he passed the test. He can get to go work in computers and all that. And they broke that
list. Wow.
And I'm like, I didn't know that. I walked out that office, the Marine office. They tried to I walked all the way back. I was walking down the street. They came out and said, "Marsh, man, it's not that bad, man. It's just a job until you get out of here. Once you leave boot camp," he said, "Well, man, you'll be shipped all over the world, so you don't have to worry about it. You'll be getting paid to do that." I'm like, "No, man, that ain't right, man. That dude ain't smarter than me. You know, they want to be smarter than me, man."
Well, you know what?
I'm going to end it. I said, "No way in the world this dude smarter than me." But they still was like, and then I said, "Well, man, I'm not even. He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because I want to do the same thing he do." And they followed me down the street. I just kept walking. Dude talking to me. I walked about two blocks down the street, and the guy had the white suit on with the them guys that be trying to get you to recruiter. He walked all the way down the street, man. I trying to talk to him. "No, man, that's all that ain't interesting." They called me. Mama called me and told me, "Them people been calling me and trying to get me to sign up." I said, "Mama, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to work at sanitation. I don't want to have nothing to do with trash. Just because I didn't know."
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't know.
Well,
that was something to hold me while I'm where I'm stationed at. But I didn't know that. But it was supposed to be, I'm going to be dumping trash, picking up trash or something. And that hurt my feelings. But boy,
you know what?
When I walked home,
you know what?
Yeah, I know. But I walked home, and I'm like, I feel like that was kind of racist to me. I cried all the way home. But when I walked in that door, Mama said, "Boy, I don't know what you've been doing, but three jobs done call you to come to work, and they left the number, and you need to call them. The lady name is this." I had to make a decision on which one I wanted to get. And I took the job at the federal building. And I was going to school at the same time. And then turn around. I was studying industrial engineering, and I ran into a company, and they hired me because I was going to school. They didn't look at my color. So during that time, I didn't experience a whole lot of racism, but that right there to me was racist because it made me feel like, "Oh, he's white, so you put him ahead of me, but he can get this job, but I can't." I'm like, no.
Let me ask you this, Dave. You were trying to jump in. What were you going to say to that?
What I was going to say to that is that, you know, the devil knows how to push your buttons. And if you had joined the military back then, you know, after 20 years, you would have had, complete benefits and who knows what careers you would be in. But sometimes, that type of thing happens just to deter you. And we got to be wise to, those little tactics. But I mean, I think that that's misinformation. We know people that have gone right out of Eastern Hills, right into the military. Cedric Jones, he made high ranks just the first, 2 years he was in there, and he's already, retired and, setting pretty, but I think looking back, I mean, the military, with your discipline that you had already, you wouldn't have a problem with the discipline that they try to do with young people, but that was a deterrent. And I think that was the devil knows exactly, that racial thing is a big thing with you. And we got to, Jesse Jackson said this. He said, "Don't get mad, get smart, be smart." And one thing we know about our president right now, this man is a very tolerant man when it comes to, people trying to push his buttons. He don't fly off the handle you know what God put in you. And I just see that as a deterrent. It was just one of those stumbling blocks that, it probably would have been a good thing for you.
But let me say this.
And the other thing I was going to say is to young people about, you said about the dreams. We both raised in a project. And what was separating projects from downtown Fort Worth was a freeway and railroad tracks. And when you lived in the projects, we saw that as a whole world by itself. Because everything that happened right there, except for the time that we were bussed out to school. But I want to say to young people, don't stop dreaming. Because I never was able to dream outside of those projects until those two teachers that were my mentors who began to teach me and show me there's a whole other world outside this, they would come over to the projects and pick me up and take me to nice restaurants, let me come to their parties, and they live in these rich neighborhoods. I mean, I began to dream when I saw there was more for me, despite what, you know, my circumstance and what I saw around me. And what did I do? I end up living across those railroad tracks downtown for like 13 years in a high-rise building. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thought I would be living down there where I just saw that whole world totally different than where I came up? And then there's a lot happened in between there, but I'm just saying, with God, all things are possible. With Him, there's no limit to how far you can dream and where you'll go.
And let me add something to that, David. And then we're gonna wrap this up, y'all. I got one question to ask Mars that I asked you, David, but I didn't ask him. Then Lord, we'll let Mars have last words on this. But and if you want to comment to what I'm saying now, that's fine. But after you comment, David, I want to ask Mars a last question. Then we'll be done. Because people are still listening, and I know they're hearing it, and that's have nothing to do with tomorrow. Because this show is recorded, when young people really will be listening. So we definitely want to give them advice. And so y'all been doing it. I appreciate that. But let me say this to you, David. I appreciate what you just said. What you just said was major. White people doing the right thing, and it could have been black people too, because there's black mentors as well, taking kids and letting them see a new thing, because it wasn't until you invited me to go to Calvary that I went to Calvary, and it just so happened these people was white. They could have been black. And I began to start going to Bible class or going to my Bible class for Sunday school. Check this out, Mars. I went to Sunday school with people that was of T. Colin Davis status. Calvary had some rich people going to school, going to church. And I would see these people in Sunday school. You know how Sunday school was at Parfait Temple. Now we're at Calvary. There's people in there that's millionaires, and they're asking some of the dumbest questions I've ever heard. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, wait a minute. And this guy owns this one company downtown, and he don't know that? He don't know that? So I got to see that the actual value of what Mama gave us in terms of what we learned in prayer, faith, or what Mama showed, whoever is credited for that, because it's both. Mama taught us some things, and then prayer, faith, the ministry that comes to that taught us probably a lot more. But I was able to see, ooh, they don't even know where Deuteronomy is. Like they would ask the teacher, where is that book at? Well, that's the fifth book of the Bible. And I was like, wow. I flipped to my books of the Bible, and that was there in like a second. Yeah, not a second, but maybe no more than about 20 seconds. I was there, whatever book of the Bible they said. Didn't even ever look at the index. But I began to watch these people, David. They didn't even know what books were. I'm like, so they might be successful in one, on one front, but they don't even know how to find truth in the book. And that don't mean that I'm better than them in that area. I'm just saying that was just some things that I knew and had access to. Now, there's some questions and some studies they got on I really did know more. So, but then we went out on outings at some of their houses, and I began to start thinking that, you know, I can go further in life by being around these people and seeing what their walk with the Father was like. So Calvary, the experience that David got through going to Calvary and then invite me to come, that was major. He was actually influential in that. So that was major. That was major. So let me do this. Mars dropped off. He's dropped off the phone line. So everybody just hold. I'm back. David, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Mars dropped off. But anyway, maybe he'll call me back and I'll put him back in. But like I was saying, I learned a lot. I learned a lot from Calvary and exposure. And then when I got on with the airlines, another thing that David Johnson was doing, you know, not that
I always wanted to try. Before I even met David, I would go on trips by myself. I would pay for the trip and just go on trips. Just it's what I do with my money. But I never thought to get on with the airline. And so I saw David, who was a flight attendant, and I saw him going all over the world. I said, I want to do that. And I prayed, you know, I asked the Father, could I see the world? And they say, you know, it's how with America. Now, I thought I would get rich and get to see the world that way, but it didn't happen that way. I ended up seeing the world through various different places I work. So anyway, having said all that, to the young people, to anybody listening, hopefully you caught what David just said. Sometimes you need to get outside of your surroundings. It's some grown people that never been outside Fort Worth. How about this? We live in Cincinnati, and there was a young lady, I'm not picking on them, I don't call her name so y'all won't know who she is. She had never been over. Hold on, Mrs. Morris. Morris, you there?
Yeah.
David, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, so all three of us are back on the line. But it wasn't until I went to Calvary and began to start rubbing elbows with a lot of these people that I really feel like I can do some of the things they did, because I went to Bible class with them, and I saw they was no different than I was. Sometimes these people look like they're so unapproachable, so unattainable, until you go to their homes. I've been to Bob Nichols' house. I've been to Bob Nichols' house more than once. That's the pastor of Calvary. I've been to other people's houses that made Bob Nichols' house look like it was a shack that went to Calvary. People had money. Folks had lakes in the back of their house, boats and the whole nine yards. I mean, people that really had a lot of money. And I begin to see, oh, look at them. You know, oh, their daughter does not love the Lord. Their daughter doesn't want nothing to do with church. I knew they wasn't all saved. I knew their lives weren't perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not stupid. I knew these people had issues. I knew just because they had money, they weren't successful. In the Father's eyes, I knew that. But I needed to feel it. I needed to rub elbows with them people and really see that they was just like me. And I didn't really experience it until Calvary. And then when I began to travel the world and go on the other side of the world and see another perspective outside America, it did something to me. So traveling don't mean you got to leave the country just to get this, but actually I'm going to say you do have to leave the country to get it, because some black people really think that white people run the world, and it's not quite that true. Only 8% of this planet is Caucasian. 92% of the planet is non-white. Think about that for a second. 92%. We just happen to live where a lot of white people live, and they own stuff. They run this DFW area, and it's hard to comprehend them not ruling, but actually there are bigger buildings. The best airlines in the world is not American and Delta. They're non-white airlines. Some of the fanciest buildings are non-white countries. Some of the most exotic women, exotic people, nicest-looking people, I mean, whatever you call beauty, you know, I'll be holy. But I'm saying this planet got something for us to see versus just seeing European definition of everything. So this is why I'm talking to the young people tonight, wrapping this show up. It behooves you. That means you really need to look into this. It behooves you to look outside of your hood. The world is so much bigger than DFW and your little high school and your little family and your little clique. Okay, how cool y'all think y'all are. There's a whole nother world. I know what it's like to, you know, what the other part of the world look at when they look at us. We look at Muslim women and we think, oh, they so, look at them, look what they're wearing. Ooh. You need to look at through their eyes at how we look. We're the ones, 50% of our marriages end in divorce. We're the ones that have this rebellious kids. We're the ones that destroy the earth and atmosphere with all this technology that we call advanced. Anyway, that's enough of me. Mars, I want to ask, Dave, do you have any comment on what I just said? I want to ask Mars question. We'll wrap up.
I just want to say don't be afraid of change. Change can be good. A lot of times you think, because daddy or mama didn't go to college and nobody in your family went to college. You can be the first. And like Seth was saying, I mean, there's with God, I have already said it, all things are possible. But when you trust God and trust God with your life, He will take you places that you've never been before. And He can bring you before important people, kings, and people that you never dreamed that you'll ever meet. I've been to places that I never thought I would ever go. I mean, when I got off the airplane in Australia, I realized it's on the bottom of the world. I'm literally upside down. That's what I thought. And I'm going like, I sent a postcard home. I mean, I didn't tell anybody I was going anywhere. They realized I was in Australia when they got a postcard. And so that's kind of bad, but I got better at that because I was always on the go. I was traveling all over the place. But the important thing is that a lot of young people feel like there might not be a legacy of education, of wealth, or success. But when you put God first, God will take you where you want to go. And when you pray, don't pray for money. Don't pray for things or objects or institutions. Pray for wisdom. When you pray for wisdom, you know, that's what, you know, Solomon did. When he prayed for wisdom, it impressed God that he didn't ask for money. He could have asked for anything, you know, and God would have given it to him, but he asked for wisdom on how to lead God's people. So wisdom is a principal thing, because once you have wisdom, it will get you money. It will take you places. You know, just be patient. And just pray for wisdom. That's basically all I wanted to say, is that don't be afraid of change. You know, get out of the same old thing. It was a great thing that I left Fort Worth and went to Chicago, because I got from under that umbrella of that security of my family and, you know, folks and everything. I was out there on my own. Going away to, you know, school is not going to be scary. It might be the best thing that happens to you. And I pretty much would encourage somebody to get away from their, you know, ordinary, so that they can learn and be more responsible and take on, the, you know, their own problems and issues. So that's where you get challenged. So definitely it was a good thing for me going into a big city like Chicago, and I didn't know anybody. I had two roommates from the Learning Center, and we two other guys. And we basically ate at, you know, places for happy hour, because we didn't have utensils or anything. We all had to start from scratch. And then from that part, we started splitting up, getting our own places. And you know, life just got better, you know. And just changes, you know, that for me, change was a scary thing back then. Because I was on my own, and I was out of the ordinary. I was used to doing things a certain way because my folks did it this way, or, you know. But, you know, change is good. So don't never be afraid of change.
Okay. All right. Well, Mars Dade, I really appreciate that. A lot of wisdom in that. And I didn't hear nothing I disagree with. So, Mars, you still there?
Yep.
I want you to finish up with any last thoughts. David did a lot of talk on just to the young people specifically, them trusting God. Just what do you have to say to people, again, with the different challenges out there? You said a little bit earlier, but I didn't feel like you was done. So what do you have to say to these young boys? And I heard you say, David didn't hear this earlier. Actually, you kind of answered this when you was doing the show. And again, y'all that came on last, Mars did to do the first half of the show, or first 30 minutes, I guess. So you kind of, I heard you on the way home, you did comment, and then Robbie commented on it too. But just asking you one more time, closing out, any last words you got to the young people? Let's just say it like that.
Well, most of all, I'm just going to say like this. Don't look at the picture, because it can be camouflaged.
you know, always believe in yourself and trust in yourself. Don't get caught up in the hoopla. Don't get caught up in the stuff that's going on. You know, you always got to continue to keep your focus in you. You know, you're the dreamer. You know, you're the one for the accomplishments. You're the one that, when it's all said and done, is basically made up because of who you are and who you're trying to be. All the stuff that's going on, that's fine. But keep your focus on yourself. Keep your motivation. You know, if you don't get it from others, if you're around the wrong crowd, sometimes you need to be to yourself. It's okay to have friends, but sometimes you get to yourself. And yourself is more important than anything, because like I said, in the end, it's going to all boil down to you. So if you keep your focus on what you're trying to be and who you plan to be, that's all that matters. The world don't have nothing to do with you. You know, so it could be like a camouflage, and you might see one picture, but then, like David said, all these things will be granted. And the things that you must then do, it'll open up your horizons. It'll brighten up your confidence. You know, it'll uplift you in spirit so that you can accomplish everything you need to do. But the most important thing is you got to focus on you. And just because it's you, it ain't even about you. You know, it's all about God. It's all about your faith. And sometimes, no matter how the storm comes, you got to have the faith, and you better believe in God. And don't ever walk around thinking that, hey, it's about you and this and that. But you know what? The main thing is, you better pray and ask him, just like we've done through the years, whatever the obstacles may be, that ask him to lead you and guide you. Because you can get confused. Why? Because you're only, you know, so I'm passing this on to all the youngsters out there. You know, you don't think it's about you. You know, because it's predestinated time. So in the meantime, you got to always ask him for what you need. You might not get it when you want it, but you're going to get it right on time. That's how it works, you know. Everybody expect everything to come overnight. No, it don't work like that. No effort, no response.
All right.
Through your effort and your response, just believe and ask God to help you along the way, because you're only human.
All right. Well, listen, David. David.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, give my word, it's going to be every bit of power, about the 45 seconds. Because y'all don't say it. I just let y'all do all the talk. But I do want y'all to hear this song. Y'all going to appreciate this song. I don't know if y'all heard this yet, but y'all going to appreciate this song. But let me just do my little 45 seconds. And I'm looking at the clock. I'm going to see if I can do it less than 45 seconds. Somebody once said, God, when things happen bad to you, God did it. I don't believe that. I think God rewards us to whatever we do. He gives us free will. There's these universal laws or the scriptures, whatever you want to call them. And depends on what we do, he rewards us. The Bible says he rewards both the wicked and the good, the just and the unjust. God is not sending all these bad things your way. God rewards you. He tells you, if you do this, you do that, I'll protect you. And when we don't do it, we have to, you know, when we don't take care of our bodies, we die early. Even though we do other areas good, we got to do other areas. We have more than one thing on our plate. We have to do more than one thing. I went on 45, but I'm trying to wrap this up quick. So let's not think that God is sending all this bad stuff our way. I don't believe that. Because why would he send all these bad things to so-called black people and all the good things to white people? That'd be a racist God. That's not what God is doing at all. These white people are passing down things from generation to generation. That's why their kids got stuff. If black people start doing that, their kids have stuff. And it is changing. So I don't believe that a lot of this bad stuff is coming our way is God. I do believe that when we disobey or our parents disobey, certain things we got to reap. No matter what color we are. Most High love us. He loves us, his creation. When we fulfill his scriptures, he says, you do this, I'll do that. You do this, I'll do that. And I think we can be blessed as each other's homes. I'm talking individually. Now, we as a people is a whole new different conversation. I'll talk about that on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I can't get into it now. But while we as a people suffer, that's a whole nother world. But you don't have to suffer if you and your house obey the Most High. That's all I got to say about it. Y'all check this out. When they say stomp on the devil here at this music, some of y'all say, I don't need no devil. Believe you. Believe me. There is a devil. Mars, David, y'all been cool. Appreciate everything. Don't run nowhere. Please listen to the song, and then we'll just talk next time, okay? All right?
All right.
All right.
All right. Check this out. Y'all gonna like this. Y'all gonna like this. This is what we got to do. But listen to the song at the end because it's going to make declarations for your family, youth. I want everybody listen to the end of this song. All right? Talks, he makes a declaration for the families. Check it out.
Everybody say, oh, 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 o